Just gonna pray as the bag goes around. God, I pray that you would show us how to go deeper and I pray against weariness in the journey. I pray that you'd fill us with your strength. Even as we pray for you to breathe over this region and your breath would just fill this region, we pray that you breathe over us. Lord God, breathe your breath in us and fill us with your life. Now we love you, Lord God. We praise you. In your name, amen. So, yeah, it's funny, when the Lord speaks to me about something to share, I start seeing if I've heard him correctly, I start seeing the connections in just what people share too, and it's so often that the Lord is speaking through the sharing, speaking through the worship, you know, and even like I think about what Lil shared about the grieving and then what was shared about it being over the region and breathing this life over the region and breathing life and that praying, prophesying or praying or calling the breath or the to go out and it just fits so much with I think what the Lord has placed on my heart and even the going deeper. And do we want to go deeper? I was getting this picture earlier in the week and of just this place of weariness. And settling in, a temptation to settle in. You know, last week or the week before, I think Morgan shared as we were praying for Lily about this prophetic word of this is a year of promise, and God's been speaking promises, and it's that year of promise, and. You know, as it was shared with me, because I got this picture up, and I'm hoping this is more hope than I am even talking to Morgan later on about it. Because again, I was talking to Larry at that point, so I didn't hear it. But does that mean this year is the fulfillment of those promises, like the year where those promises are fulfilled? And she shared, well, like I don't know what she had shared while she was sharing it with Lil, but. She's like, well, no, what I heard was this is the year of promise. And that's like, and so I hope that it is that fulfillment. But I know that sometimes in waiting for promises to be fulfilled, we can get tired and we can get weary. And I had this picture of, or just remembering the passage in Peter where, you know, 2 Peter 3, people will be. Yes, people will be scoffing, but I think some people will also just be tired in this place of, where is the Lord's coming? We've been waiting and waiting, waiting and waiting, and waiting and waiting. Where is the Lord's coming? And I got this, as I thought about that, this place of, yeah, things keep going on like they always have. It says in Peter as well. Like, and yeah, we see slow changes in our lives, and now I'm thinking about the promises that God has given me. And even as Brian was sharing that word, man, God brings me back to this vision or this dream that he gave me like almost 20 years ago now. And it's like, Lord, yeah, where's the fulfillment of that? And I'm getting weary. I'm getting tired. Will these things ever take place? And the temptation of just settling in, and I guess this is the way it is. But I hear God saying to us, no, press in. Press in, press in, press in. As we were, the word was given for this region then, and so much death, right? And the heaviness, and it might be a heaviness that we're feeling sometimes of a heaviness over this region, or just a heaviness of life too. I mean, the enemy is the god of this age, right? And he hates us. And so sometimes there's a heaviness on us as individuals. Sometimes there's a heaviness on us as a corporate body. Sometimes there's a heaviness over a region, over a country, over the world. And it all makes sense because the enemy hates us and he is coming against us all the time. The enemy is coming against us all the time. He wars against us. He fires his darts at us, his flaming darts, and those darts of accusation, those lies. He tries to discourage us, right? He tries to tear us down. He tries to get in the middle of relationships. He tries to get in the middle of marriages. He tries to get in the middle of families. He keeps coming against us over and over, and he is relentless. He is relentless. He never stops. And as he sees the day approaching, and I'm sure he sees it. I don't think he knows exactly when. Like Jesus said, only the Father in heaven knows when. But he can read the signs better than we can. He actually knows the Bible probably better than we do, okay? And he can see the signs. Like, you know, in our study of the end times, we're seeing the signs. He can see them too. And he realizes his end is coming. Mind you, I still think he lies to himself and thinks he can win, because he is the father of lies and he's so self-deceived as well. But he ramps up and he comes against us, and it gets so tiring. But God has called us to fight. God has not called us to shrink back. God has not called us to settle. I agree that we are supposed to enjoy life and we're supposed to be all in. But what that also means is all in the fight. Yes, enjoy. Enjoy life. Enjoy family. Enjoy, if you like winter, you know, and love the snow, enjoy this snow. Enjoy the beauty of it. Marvel at it. You know, when it was falling a few days ago, I was like, oh no. But when it was falling back before Christmas, that same kind of snow, I just couldn't stop looking out the window at it and marveling at it. Marvel at it. Enjoy it. Be all in. Savor it. But be all in the war too. Be all in. Run into the fray. There's a war going on. The enemy comes against us. War for your family. War for your marriage. War for your children. War for this region. War for the church. I was saying to some of the guys before we began this morning, there's one show that I will sometimes watch. There's not many shows anymore that I'll watch. I'll watch sports and basically that's it. But there's one show that I still will watch on occasion, and it's Blue Bloods. story of a police family in New York City. And it's one of those shows that still has the old-fashioned good and evil, like right and wrong, and no blurry lines in between. Like, wrong is wrong, right is right, and duty and honor and loyalty and courage and, you know, all these God, quite frankly, godly characteristics are promoted. And once an episode, the family's around the table and talking, and often it's ethics and tough stuff, you know, but they begin with prayer. And in Jesus' name, they actually use Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, and all that. So it's a show that I'll watch on occasion. And on a recent episode, just watched it yesterday a little bit, talked about the commissioner, the police commissioner, Tom Selleck's character. He talked about this oath that police officers take, and I don't know if this is true of all police officers, but I hope it's true of at least New York police officers, so that they're staying true to what actually is out there. But this oath to run into the fray, if you will, it doesn't phrase it that way necessarily, but if you see danger, to not run away from it, but to run towards it, and like be there for the solution. And so you go towards it and not away from it. And because he said it's our natural instinct to want to stay away from it. And so that's why we had to make it a part of the oath, so that to be reminded when the danger happens, okay, no, I took the oath, I have to run towards it. We should have that oath as believers. You know? This oath of running towards the fray. I'm going to join in the battle. And almost like this, sometimes in North America, we make it too easy, you know. Come forward, raise your hand, sign a card, repeat after me, you know, kind of things. I'm going to pray, you know, you pray after me. And then we just leave it there. Now, I'm not... You know, sometimes the birthing experience isn't the moment to say, okay, now you're into the fray, you know, like, but this place of count the cost, and this is what we're called to. Yes, we are members, and when we first believed, we were adopted into a family, and we were invited into this family of God, and absolutely. But it's almost like at the same time, do you know that this family is at war? So welcome to the family, and we love you. And we don't want you to just join because we need more soldiers. But like, no, I love you, and I'm looking forward to our time of peace, and I want you to inherit everything that I have, God says to us. He's given us everything, and yet it's also this place of, and my family's at war. And there's many people dying out there, and we want to see them rescued. We want to see them saved. And so we expect you to join in to the war. Like, we want you to join in. Want you to run to the fray. The beautiful thing is God does not leave us without what we need. God does not leave us unclothed and unprepared. He gives us everything we need to fight. Carlene shared a word with me this morning from a book that she's reading. And I was reading, it stopped. I gotta start reading that one again. I got a few books on the go. I get in trouble when I get a few books on the go. But it's talking about authority. And as she shared this word, she was sharing a word specifically. I'll give the specifics, but then I'll generalize it too. The specific word that she gave me in this book as she was reading it is this guy's teaching that, like, as fathers, so the specific word is for us as fathers, we have authority over our families. And we have authority in the heavenly realms, and the heavenly realms, the spiritual realm, recognizes that authority. And what this guy was saying is this place of basically saying to the enemy, as the father is praying, as he's praying as a dad, he's saying, you want to get to my family, you got to go through me first. And he gave a specific example, which I'm still processing a little bit, and yet, but it was, his wife was sick, right? And it was then, and what I would say to this, we didn't talk about it because it was just at breakfast a little bit, but what I would say is, if the sickness, there are sicknesses in the Bible, it's very clear that some sicknesses are spiritual. Some sicknesses are just sicknesses. I guess all of it is spiritual because we're sick because of a spiritual thing, like the sin that happened to Adam and Eve. So all sickness has a spiritual component, I guess. But then there are sicknesses, there are diseases, there are things that happen which are strictly spiritual. And then some are probably mixed, you know. I'll just put that out there. But his wife was sick, and I guess he was discerning, I don't know. I don't know if it said it in the book, where he discerned that it was a spiritual thing, or if he just went at it.
Like, it wasn't his wife. Like, it was an example of a different wife.
Oh.
Like, he prayed, or he told the husband to pray in this way.
Okay. So then he says to this husband, then pray in this way, because the author doesn't have the authority, the husband does, right? And so the husband prayed basically this place of, you want to get to my wife, you got to go through me first. Well, the wife was healed and he became sick with the same sickness that she had had. But then he battled through that in prayer and he healed somewhat quickly, because it's like, no, you can't touch her, you got to go through me. And so the enemy said, okay, and came at him with sickness. But then it's like, okay, now we're going to fight. You and me are going to fight. Stop touching my family. And it's this running into the fray. Now, that's a specific example. So husbands, yeah, you have authority over your families. And please understand, I'm talking to myself too. I shared a few weeks ago, I know, like, we know the power of prayer. The power of prayer has come up over and over and over again, and it should come up over and over and over again. We don't recognize it. Like, let's face facts. We just do not recognize the power of prayer. We know it theologically. I know it theologically. I could write a wonderful paper on it, could do a great essay on it, could write a book on it probably. I could preach 1,000 sermons on it. But I have to admit, I do not know the power of prayer like I should. And so this place of husbands, you have authority in the heavenly realms for your families, and to battle. But we got to battle. We have to battle. We have to enter into the fray. And that's where sometimes, yeah, like, I'm willing to pray for someone one off. Like, yeah, come and pray for me. But this example of praying for 4 years that Darlene's talking about, you know, for someone, and that perseverance and that endurance in it, that I'm in it again, like, strap on the sword every morning. Take up my shield, put on my helmet, put on my armor every morning. I'm going to battle, I'm going to battle, I'm going to battle, I'm going to battle. I don't know that experientially. And I'm being challenged to enter in. To run into the fray, not just once though, every day. And to fight for my wife, to fight for my kids, but they're doing well, and so maybe that's why sometimes I don't. Like, it's like, but they're doing great. Like, wife's awesome, kids are awesome, everything's going well. But then where God hits me, so this is where that reality of authority really hits me, right? I have authority in this place. I have authority in Emmanuel Grace. I have authority in Freedom Ministries. It's like, and I pray for people, but my prayers almost remind me of that one king who took the three arrows. Elisha says, take your arrows, drive them into the ground. Or first throw one out. Oh, the victory of the Lord or whatever. Now drive them into the ground. He takes one, two, three, and then he stops. And Elisha, being the hothead, Elisha was a hothead. It's kind of why I like him. Elisha is one of my favorite prophets. And he says, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have had complete victory over Edom. But now, because you just struck the ground three times, you will only have three victories. And see, sometimes I get a little bit too much in my head. I don't know if you do this, but I start reasoning. Whenever you reason your way out of God's word, it's not a good thing. Okay? But I start reasoning. Why? What? Like, if the Lord is the Lord, one prayer should be enough. In fact, if the Lord's the Lord, he doesn't need anyone to pray because he's God. Have you ever done stuff like that, right? Because he's God. Why does he need me to speak something out for him? Like, he's Almighty God. So I reason my way out of my very clear calling. Like, sometimes you read that story of Elisha, that account of Elisha, and when I first would read it, I'd be like, and I still, I'm like, Elisha, come on, you're being a little cranky. You're being a little hard on the guy. I mean, come on. Like, he struck the ground three times. How was he supposed to know he was supposed to empty his quiver? Like, come on. Why do I need to pray over and over and over again? Why do I need to fight over and over and over again? Isn't the little finger of God greater than all the enemy's strength combined? Absolutely it is. But the Lord has called us to battle. And I don't understand it all. I can say what I think. I can give my two cents worth as to why. But really, that doesn't even matter. What we do know is that we're supposed to enter in and battle.
The problem is, like, as we become a Christian, we are put in the battle immediately.
Immediately.
And if we don't enter into the fray, we will get shot down.
Yeah.
And there's not a neutral place.
No. The fact is, you're in a war whether you like it or not. But again, the beautiful thing is God has not left us unequipped. So he has given us all his armor. And even like John pointed out, I think on Monday or Tuesday, I forget which one, about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, and we'll get there. There are six pieces. John likes numbers, right? There's six pieces of armor, but then he points out, and the seventh part of it all is the prayer. And it's true. To enter in, though. So the Lord has given us what we need. And not only has he given us the armor and the weapons, he has given us his authority. That's incredible. So again, husbands, you have authority. You have the authority to stand up for your families, to stand up for your wife, to pray over your wife, to pray protection over your wife and your kids. Wives, you have authority over your children. You have authority to stand in the gap and fight. Fight. Elders, right? Leaders, you have authority. I have authority to stand in the gap for you. Now, exercise that authority. A great question to ask is, what area do I have authority in? Sometimes we don't have authority in a place.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes we don't have authority in a place. We need to recognize that. We can still pray for people. We have the authority to ask. We have the authority to to walk in the realm that we're called to. And sometimes, yeah, like a neighbor, we don't have authority over them. But we can still pray for them, pray blessing. We have the authority to pray blessing. We have the authority to war on their behalf, even if they don't know it. Lord, I pray against the enemy that's coming. The enemy's obviously coming against them. The enemy's obviously fighting against them. The enemy's obviously trying to tear that family apart. The enemy's obviously trying to tear our region apart. The enemy's obviously coming against people that we know, and we can fight for them. Lord, I pray health over them. I pray healing over them. I pray freedom over them. And then as the Lord leads, we pray that out. So we have the authority. Will we walk out that authority?
Yeah, Lamentations, I was reading that last night, and I just kind of stumbled on it, but it really resonated with me, and so I was reading, and so here Jeremiah had been given authority to intercede and to pray and to weep, and, you know, all these things came about, and anyway, but this verse, as we were worshiping, came to my mind, and it really kind of fits in, but it's from chapter 2, verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. And it's just like, oh Lord, like, you know, we do that as a family, but I just felt the Lord saying, like, for the Niagara region, he has given us that authority to do that. And
and I would agree with that. I have prayed about where our, Lord, what are we called to as Emmanuel Grace? I have never felt a calling yet, and this might come yet, don't get me wrong, but the greater Ontario or greater Canada or world. Now, like, yes, when certain opportunities come and the Lord calls us to go, that's awesome. And that, but I see our greatest calling, if you will, is in the Niagara region. So I affirm that. This calling to weep even. There's power in godly tears. Had a conversation with a number of guys over the years about authority, and authority is an interesting word. Some people really react against it. Some people really abuse it too, abuse authority. But one of the things that became apparent to me as I looked at authority, I've looked at authority over the years, is a word that goes right alongside the word authority is responsibility. They go hand in hand. So then, in the area of spiritual warfare, okay, so I look at, okay, I'll just talk about me a little bit, and then you can apply it to yourselves as you see fit. So I've been given authority in Emmanuel Grace, okay? And sometimes the world might look at that, well, then you get to make all the decisions. You get to, you know, what you say goes, and well, that's what authority is. And there is a place where the buck does stop here, okay? And that's true, and we've been open and clear about that from the beginning, and I believe that's biblical. I just see it. Yes, there's a plurality of elders or leaders as well, but then there is a place where that's true, of the buck does stop here. And a lot of the world loves to think about that and only looks at authority through those kinds of lenses. And if that's the only way you look at authority, may I say you don't understand the word then. Because I would much rather be under authority than in authority. It's a much, much easier life to be in submission, in a place of submission, rather than a place of authority, if you're understanding it correctly. So I look at then authority as, and then coupling it together with the word responsibility, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, so I know many of your stories. I know like parts of a lot of your stories. And not only do I have the authority to war for you and to fight for you, I have the responsibility to war for you and fight for you. God expects me to war for you and fight for you. So then you look at husbands. God expects you to war for your wives, to war for your children. God expects you to fight for them constantly. It's not just about, well, I get to decide where we go, and I get to decide what we do, and I get to decide what we eat, and all that kind of thing. And by the way, if you're using your authority in that way, we need to talk. Because that's not how that works. It's this place of, you are responsible as that first line of defense in your families. You are responsible to fight the good fight first for your family, for your wife and your children. Wives, mothers, you are expected, you have a responsibility to fight for your children, to war for them. And also, even then, okay, so you don't have authority over your husbands, you're still called to pray for him and war for him. You have authority in his life in such a way where that closeness of relationship, where we can fight for each other. You can fight for me. I pray that you are. We have this responsibility once we joined this family and once our eyes were open. And what our eyes were open to is that there is a great war going on, and it's for people's souls, eternal souls. And we might say, but okay, so I might say, but my kids, they're all saved. My wife is saved, so we're good. And yet, you know what? The enemy might not be able to get their souls, although he might be able to. But he might not be able to get their souls, but what he wars then against them for is not necessarily for their souls, but for their effectiveness. Because they all have a calling on their lives. Carlene has a calling on her life. And he wants to war against them so that their calling would be less, that they wouldn't walk in their full calling, that they would walk in less than their calling. You all have a calling on your life. Very specific. You are uniquely made. There's no one like you in the whole earth. No one with your gift mix and your personality. No one else who has the relationships that you have in exactly the way you have them. You are here for a purpose. I don't just mean here this morning, but I mean in this region, on this earth, in this time. God had you born exactly when he wanted you born. And you have a calling on your life. And here's the scary thing. I don't know if scary is the right word. But definitely, here's a sobering thing for me. Very sobering. And my prayers for you, or my lack of prayers for you, have the potential to affect how well you walk out your calling. Because if God had assigned me a place of, okay, this person needs this area of their life guarded right now, pray into it, because the enemy is planning an attack. And if I'm just like, if they get attacked, that's their own fault. And there's some truth in that, maybe. Maybe you were negligent in something. Maybe you were not guarding your thoughts like you should. Maybe you're not being the person you're called to be. And it's like, well, you know, oh, well. Then the enemy comes in with discouragement or with fear or with selfishness or with this or with that. God will hold me responsible for that. There's passages throughout Scripture that make that very clear. And it's not even about being held responsible. Because I always think, you know, eventually we're going to be in heaven and all will be forgiven anyway, so it's all going to be good. It's not about that. It's about this place of, I want, like Judy was sharing, I want you to live a life full, like a full life. But not only for your own enjoyment. Yes, I want you to enjoy life because God has given us a wonderful life. But I want you to be effective. And you know what? If I don't pray when I'm called to pray, and you get injured because I didn't have your back, okay, you can't blame it on me, by the way. We won't go down those roads, though. Because I don't have your back, then all of a sudden you're not, when you go to work the next day or the next week and God had a plan for you to minister to someone who is searching and yet you're busy tending your own wounds and you miss the opportunity because you're too injured. You got a broken leg. You're torn up. You're in the heavenlies, in the spirit. And that opportunity passes. I don't want us to go down the road of trying to figure out, how much am I responsible for now? Oh, I'm horrible. Because that's what the enemy will want to come in with. He doesn't want us to navel gaze and psychoanalyze our lives, okay? It's this place of, oh, Lord, I want to be faithful. I have a responsibility, and I have the authority, and I actually have the joy of entering into the fray. I think of that final day. We've studied the end times and that final battle of Armageddon. And Carlene and I both believe that us as believers, we will have our glorified bodies at that time and we will enter into that battle. Okay? And the thing of there's passages, I think it's in Isaiah, but there's other passages. Anyway, that talk about, you know, maybe being run through with the spear and it doesn't affect us because we have our mortal bodies. And now I can't yet picture being a part of war and that it being joyful, if you will. Like, no. But it'd be pretty cool to run around and not be hurt at all. Right? And it's like, charge! And just running into the midst of it in that final day.
It's what you're fighting for that's joyful.
It's what you're fighting for that's joyful. Yeah. That's such a good way to put it. And no harm. I want that type of joy as I enter the fray. I am fighting for you. I am fighting for God's glory. I'm fighting for His name. I'm fighting for people. I want you to be healthy so that the person that you meet next week will see the full joy of the Lord in your life. And then they'll be healthy and they will minister. So this place of you have authority, now walk in it. And it's not just authority, it's a responsibility. Walk in it. Walk in it fully. Enter in fully to this battle. People are dying. And we are called to fight for them. We are called to fight for each other. And don't believe the lie. Again, back to the lies. Don't believe the lie that one prayer will do. Sometimes it will, but like you stay in prayer as long as God. I think about 4 years I've heard other stories as I've read different books about people praying 20, 30 years for one person and never giving up. I read this one story of this this person who prayed for, I think it was his neighbor, but I'm not sure, faithfully his whole life. Person died before he saw anything. And the person that was being prayed for, the neighbor, came to the Lord at this man's funeral. Didn't see the, never saw the fruit this side of heaven. But fight the good fight. Walk in that authority. I think of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And it says, Jesus is talking to the 72. And he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and so forth. He's talking about the demonic. You have the authority to come against the enemy. You have the authority to trample on snakes and on scorpions, to fight wild beasts. You have the authority. You have the authority to stand up for your family. You have the authority to stand up for this region, to fight the good fight. Walk in it. And again, I'm preaching to myself. So Larry and I were talking earlier this week, and this truly is, and I was so encouraged by what you said, Larry. There, he said that truly it's this place of we're walking this journey out together. And that's the way he feels, and I know I feel that way. I'm glad that no one, I don't think anyone here thinks I have it all together. Just awesome. It takes a lot of pressure off. And I say that sincerely. Let's walk this journey out together. Let's walk it out well. Let's trample on scorpions and trample on snakes. Fight wild beasts. Let's stand up for each other. Stand up for your family. Daily, hourly. You are worth fighting for. I have to keep that at the forefront of my mind. You are worth fighting for. Your families are worth fighting for. Your extended families. Worth fighting for. Exercise that authority. Walk it out. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the lies that you don't have authority. You do. And don't believe the lies that we'll just never see things happen. You know, we've been promised this and promised that for so long, and it just keeps on going on. We keep on slogging along. Yeah, we make a little bit of progress, but no, don't believe that. A, I think we're further than we think we are. I really do believe that, actually, even as I'm sharing right now. I believe we're further than we think we are. I believe I'm further than I think I am. I believe I'm closer to the fulfillment of that vision. The vision that came to mind when you talk, I've shared this one before, or the dream, is the one where I'm riding in the little dinghy. You remember that one? And So I had this dream. I see you some notes, so I'll explain it then. So 20 years ago, I had this dream, and I'm in this little dinghy, you know, just like 12 foot, you know, 10, 12 foot, I don't know. You would know if you would have seen it, Brian. But I'm standing in it, which I'm not supposed to do, and it's me, but it's the Lord. It's not me and the Lord in the dinghy. There's not two people in the dinghy. There's just one. This little boat, right, you know? It's me, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord, but it's me. Both together, like we were one. And we had harpooned this big, humongous black whale. And it was like, demonic. Like, it was an enemy. It was the enemy. But anyways, it was demonic. We had harpooned it, and this thing was spitting mad. This thing was angry, and it starts diving. And so we've got the harpoon with the rope, right? And it's attached. And this thing, it just bolts, and just diving, and up and down. And we're flying in the dinghy, and I'm just standing in the dinghy, and I'm laughing. I'm just like, woohoo, this is great. I'm laughing, and I'm smiling, and this thing is angry, angry, so angry. And I'm just laughing. And then there's the whale turned into this five-headed beast, and one of the heads was cut off. And I don't know what it means exactly. But I know I haven't seen the fulfillment of that. And sometimes the enemy comes in and says, you'll never see, like, it's been so long. No, I refuse to believe that God gave me that dream for no reason. I know it's from God because I remember it 20 years later. I can't remember things from last week. I refuse to believe the lie that we're not going to see the fulfillment of the promises that he's been speaking over us. We're going to see it. We are seeing it. We're going to see it more. We're going to see it fully fulfilled. We need to just keep fighting. And even if we only see it in hindsight, maybe it'll be, I don't know. Like, I hope I'm not offering a way out here. But maybe it'll be just like that guy who died, who was praying for, maybe it'll be when we get to heaven, we see all the warfare that we did in our prayers and the demons sent fleeing and the freedom being brought to this region and over people's lives. Maybe it's just then that we'll see it. I don't know. Maybe I'll never see that played out, what I just described with my dream, this side of heaven. But looking back from heaven, I'll be able to see it. Maybe. Because maybe we're further along than we thought. Maybe our prayers do a lot more than we think they do. Maybe we should just concentrate on what God says prayer is all about and how powerful it is, rather than demanding that we understand it. Walk out your authority. Walk it out. You have a responsibility to walk it out. Only you have been made with the responsibility that you have and the calling that you have and the gifting that you have. Walk it out fully. Live it out. Fight the good fight. Are there any questions or comments on this?
I just keep hearing the verse, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Yeah.
And it comes on the heels of just praying for healing.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I'm just like, yeah. And I totally agree. I think that's actually what it is that what we've already been doing is actually God's answering prayer, that he's already, that it's already being walked out. We just haven't seen it, which is also good, actually. But I think there's coming a time when we're going to see it.
Yeah, I pray so. But it's also this place of whether we see it or not, we're going to walk it out. We're going to run the race. Persevere and fight. And the enemy will come up with discouragement and say, why are you fighting so hard? Like, that's going to happen. If you enter in, I guarantee you, he'll probably leave you alone for a little bit. Leave you alone for a week. Leave you alone for a month. And then after a little while, when he sees his opportunity, he'll come in and say, and what has all this done? And he'll accuse God and he'll accuse you. Don't accept that. Don't accept that. The prayers of a righteous man, and I think there probably the word is anthropos, which means man or woman. So just so you don't get offended. And I don't get offended here. Just so you don't misunderstand, though. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's a fact. Whether you see that it's powerful and effective or not, that's a fact. To enter in. See, and I have to understand that better. I have to understand that actually my prayers for you are powerful and effective simply because prayers are powerful and effective of a righteous man. I pray that I walk out my life righteously, yes. But then even more so because of the authority that I've called to have, I have to believe it. I have to understand that better, that my prayers are powerful, that they have an effect. Your prayers are powerful. They have an effect. Because we're family, our prayers for each other are powerful. They have an effect. Don't give up. Don't settle. Don't stop. Any other comments or questions?
When you talked about Niagara, I just was reminded about Niagara now, and I just want to put that out there. Like, they've been having meetings, and this year they're going to do things differently than they did last year, and that they're going to go to each region of Niagara, beginning with Niagara Falls, and they're going to have an evening of worship and prayer for that part of Niagara. And they will do that in every part. So Niagara on the
once
lake
a month.
One as well, but like up to December, like at least 10 parts of Niagara, different parts. And so the first one will be March 15th at 7 p.m. at the Dwelling Place. And it's just a great opportunity to pray for Niagara.
An evening of worship and prayer. Any other comments or questions?
It's very
I'm going to pray for us. So, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be filled with faith. And, Lord, again, I pray that as we read your word, when we read about authority and prayer and that, I pray that we would not believe the lies of the enemy and that we would see with our eyes of faith, open our eyes of faith, Lord God. And I'm sorry for doubting your word, and I'm sorry for doubting you. Please forgive me. Thank you for your forgiveness. Purify me from all of that doubt and neglect. Purify us, Lord God. And Lord, I understand that we are called to obey even if we don't see it. And I pray that we would be faithful in that. And at the same time, Lord God, I pray that we do see it. I pray that you'd open our eyes to the heavenly realms. I pray that you'd open our hearts. May our spirits be in tune with what you are doing. May our eyes see. May our spiritual eyes see. May our spiritual ears hear. May we understand in our spirit what you are doing. Even if we can't explain it to our minds, our own minds, and our own understanding, that's okay. May our spiritual understanding be heightened. Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with discernment. I hear back from the Lord a while ago. We talked about, this might be back in the portable even, we talked about how we often say, if I see it, I'll believe it. If I see it, I'll believe it. And then but what the Lord says is, if you believe it, you'll see it. If you believe it, you'll see it. And sometimes we want to say, Lord, if I see it, I'll obey. If I see it, I'll obey. And he says, if you obey, you'll see. If you obey, you will see. And so the more we enter into the battle, just by faith, without seeing results necessarily, without seeing with our spiritual eyes even, without seeing stuff, the more we enter into it, the more those eyes, our eyes will be opened and we'll begin to see it. So Lord, thank you for showing us the way to see. I feel like you're making the path clear how to see. And it's by joining first. And the more we join, the more we say yes, the more we'll see. I praise you. I thank you for giving us authority and trusting us with authority. Thank you for sending us out. Thank you for sending us into each other's lives. You are so good and we love you. And we want to fight the good fight, Lord God, for your honor and your glory. Amen.